Welcome to the series Tech Tips Podcast. We're continuing our series of short interviews about standards-based grading with our very own teachers here in series.
I have a very special guest today.
He is
a math coach and TOSA extraordinaire Abel Maestas. Abel, can you tell us who you are and what you do?
Yeah, well, thank you, Brian. My name is Abel Maestas, and I am the 712 instructional coach here at Series Unified. I also am a equitable grading coach with Crescendo Ed, which is the company that was founded by Joe Feldman, who wrote the book Grading for Equity. So, I'm pretty excited to be here to share just some thoughts on standards-based grading.
Great. Well, let's get started. So I guess my first question will be, when did you start thinking about standards-based grading?
Yeah, you know, I think I've sort of always been on that. Well, I would say always been on that road, but I would say probably 12 years into my career, I started thinking, why is it that I have students in my AP? I was teaching AP calculus at the time. Why did I have AP calc students that were getting A's in the class, but would get one or two on the test? Mm. And I really reflected on that. Somehow my grade wasn't reflecting what the student's ability actually was. And so I really wanted to make sure that that grade meant something. And then I attended the AP read. And that's when all the AP teacher, or not all, but some AP teachers and professors, we all get together, and there's about 800 of us, and we grade free response questions for a week.
Yeah, and this is in the summer, right? After
this is in the summer, yeah.
And it's in Hawaii, right? In Hawaii.
Yeah, I wish it was in Hawaii. Oh. It was in Kansas City, which
they
got good barbecue, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it doesn't have luau's, but it had good barbecue.
Okay.
Anyway, at one point during the week, they do this little showcase where a lot of teachers or professors get up and they just talk about something that's going on in their class. And it was actually two college professors that brought up the idea of changing your grades to standards-based grading. And they said, look, if you're going to do one thing, just change the way that you categorize your categories. We used to do, you know, tests, quizzes, classwork, homework. And they said, look, if you're going to start anywhere, change it to the topics in your class. So don't categorize that in the grade book. Do like statistical analysis and whatever the topics are, and you start to change the conversation. And so that was the point where I thought, hey, you know, if college professors are doing this and this is a movement out there and I can really get the message that, look, your grade means that you are ready. Mm-hmm. That's what I wanted to do. So that's how I started with standards-based grading.
Great. So you're a math coach, and you're a great math teacher.
Thanks.
but does a teacher need to be a math whiz in order to be successful with standards-based grading?
You know, I think that there's this misconception that standards-based grading is more difficult to calculate. And really, it just comes down to accuracy, right? Like I was just talking about how I wanted my grade to be an accurate reflection of what the students know. And so in that way, I don't really think that someone has to be a math whiz. They just have to have this feeling, right? As a teacher, we know when we get a group of kids within a couple weeks, okay, this kid's going to need more support. We're gonna have some struggle here. I'm going to need some intervention, or I'm going to need some extra things. And you just kind of already know, like, who those kids that are going to fly, right? And who the kids that you're going to need more support with. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's difficult when you put an assessment or some sort of piece of evidence in front of you to say, you know, this kid gets it or kind of doesn't, or doesn't get it at all. And so being able to scale that and understand that is really the essence of standards-based grading. And then we want the student to understand where they are in their learning. So, you know, a lot of teachers, they use the 0 to 4 scale. That is a scale that's traditionally used for a standards-based reporting system. Mm-hmm. But it's just important that students understand, what is a 0? What is a 1? What is a 2? What is a 3? What is a 4? We talk about clarity. Mm-hmm. That's the piece that's important.
Mm. Great. So I'm going to ask you kind of a specific question now. One question that we hear from teachers is why doesn't the system that we use allow for fractional score inputs? So let me give you an example. Let's say you have one student who's at a level two learning on some proficiency scale, and they just barely got to that level two. Meanwhile, there might be another student in the same class on the same proficiency scale that might be, oh, so close to a three. So you got one student that's like barely above a two, and one student that's just like on the cusp of a three. Why should both of those students have the same score input? Like, in other words, why do they both deserve to have a two? Why can't I have like a 2.5 or something?
Yeah, that's – so that you know, I hear this from teachers quite often when we talk about transitioning to standards-based reporting and grading. I'm going to give you two examples. One is a non-teaching example, but I'm going to give you the teaching example first. Okay. So a lot of my time – I'm not going to say most, but some of my time – in the classroom was spent in either the college classroom or in an AP course. Mm-hmm. And in the AP exam, at the end of the day, you get reported on that AP exam a one, two, three, four, or five.
Yeah, one number. That's
one
it.
Number.
Yeah.
Right? And three is generally passing. Mm-hmm. Five is considered a perfect score. Mm-hmm. Well, if you have ever looked at the ranges on the exam of how you get a five, that can range from, I'll give you an example, it can range from 106 points all the way down to 75. So I had a student, one student got a 76 on an exam, and the other student got 102. And they both got five, went into my gradebook as a five, because mm-hmm. that's what they got.
Sure.
And one kid says, well, I did way better. I said, well, what'd you get? I got a five. You got a five. Like, on the exam at the end of the day, mm-hmm. they're not going to tell you, you got 102.
Right.
You have a five. You reach the level of advanced proficiency mm-hmm. on this exam, and it really doesn't matter whether you did better than the other person. In fact, we have to stop thinking and comparing, because I think when we say, oh, it's not fair to this kid or that kid, now we're instead of saying and focusing on what the student's needs are mm-hmm. and what that student needs to move up, we're now comparing them to other students, and then we get back to the historical normal distribution of grades, right?
Yeah.
So I think we really have to stop comparing kids mm-hmm. and looking at them individually and their growth. So the other example is a non-math example, and recently, I'll be open with this, my blood pressure's been a little high.
Oh,
right? Yeah.
Mine too. Just full disclosure.
Hey, well, you know, 47.
You're not alone, Abel.
47, yeah. It starts to happen,
oh,
right?
I'm a little closer to 50 right now.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So as we age, you know, I went in, blood pressure's a little high. Doctor says, okay, well, I need you to cut down on some sweets, and I need you to exercise mm-hmm. and eat a little better. So I've been doing that. I've been eating better. I've been trying to, getting those apps on the line. And then I've been checking my blood pressure at home, mm-hmm. been trying to get on my elliptical. And when I went in for my last checkup, I was just like the numbers he wanted. I was just over the numbers. And I don't want to go into the doctor's office and the doctor tell me, you know what? You were almost there. So I'm gonna go ahead and tell you that you're okay.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want that to happen. This is like, I need you to be straight with me. If I'm not there, mm-hmm. I'm not there. I still got more work to do. And that's okay for me to know that. That's okay for me to know I got more work to do.
Yeah.
Your work mattered, it got mm-hmm. you higher, but you need to do more work. I think it's helpful for students to know the truth in a, you know, kind, loving way.
Right, right.
It's also helpful because we know that the more variations we have, the more it waters down what's really going on. So when we start to add in 0.5s and 0.2s and 0.3s, we end up getting closer back to our 0 to 100 scale. We've got so many. What is an 80? What's the difference between an 89 and a 90?
Yeah.
Like, you tell me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is
and
it
I know.
One
I used
assignment?
To agonize over that. I would have my stack of grading my lab reports. I would stack them all out on a coffee table in my house over the weekend. And I would agonize over this decision of who deserves a 93 and who deserves the 95 and who deserves the 99.
Right.
I started to get the idea that that was kind of maybe a waste of time.
Yeah. Well, and then we sit there going at the end. I know you probably did this. We go out there and oh, well, that kid was really close. I'm going to go ahead and bump them up to an A.
Yeah.
Oh, that kid gave me some problems. I'm going to leave them at a B minus. Like, now we're getting into so much bias, right?
Yeah, we're
only human. We're trying to do is we're trying to remove the bias. We're trying to be clear, and we're trying to keep the bar at the level. So if the student hasn't gotten to the bar, we'll help them get there. Mm-hmm. But we don't need to give them a 2.5. We can just say, look, you're almost there. You need one more target to hit, and you'll be at that 3.
Yeah.
And they can do that.
Yeah. One final question. You know, there might be a teacher listening to us right now and thinking, geez, standards-based grading sounds like a really great idea. It sounds like a good system.
It's a great idea.
But it seems like it's a lot of work. Maybe it's too radical of a change to make in my classroom, especially like change all of this all at once. What would you say to a teacher like that?
Yeah, it is a radical change for many, especially if you were going from a 0 to 100 grading scale.
Sure, yeah.
That to try to make the 0-100 all the way to a standards base is really difficult, and it is a lot of work.
Right.
Be totally honest, it is a lot of work. So I go back to what those professors said at that reading. You know, if you're going to start with one thing, just start by changing your categories. Mm-hmm. We already have in this district 50 to 100 or 0 to 4. Mm-hmm. I say the simplest place to start is to do a 50 to 100 scale and then change your categories to, instead of weighting test quizzes where a student goes, this is my score on test, this is my score on, and we have proficiency scales to help people with that. So this is my score on solving systems of equations. And so when a student, we want to change that conversation, so a student comes up and instead of saying, how many points do I need to get an A? They start saying things like, what is it that I need to go back and redo? Or what topic do I need to more help on? Mm. Now, that sounds ideal, but it happens.
Yeah.
You just got to give it time. It happened in my college classes. It happened in my algebra class. Students started to ask, what topic do I need to get better on? Not how many points do I need?
Right.
Get rid of the points game. Get rid of the points game.
All right. Well, Abel, thank you so much for joining us today, taking some time to share your thoughts.
Absolutely. Well, fun.
You get me bet.
You know, we got to go get some barbecue.
That's right.
Although we're not in Kansas City, so.
No. Ceres is not quite the same as Kansas City, but that's okay. I'd like to thank Abel Maestas for joining us for today's Ceres Tech Tips podcast. If you'd like more information about standards-based grading, you can check out our Grading for Growth website, and that is at ceresedtech.net/gradingforgrowth. And you can either use the number 4, or you can spell out the word 4, F-O-R, and it works either way. And you can also find out more information about Ceres Tech Tips by subscribing to our blog, and that is at cerestechtips.com. With that, I will sign off. This is Brian Wise. Stay techie.